What is it about this time of year? You see, this past Wednesday, December 2nd, was the 35th anniversary of the rape and murder of four American churchwomen, three Mary Knowles sisters, and a young woman named Jean Donovan from Westport, Connecticut, who were working with the poorest of the poor in El Salvador and who were slain by members of military death squads linked to the El Salvador's National Guard, and the evidence shows that they were probably trained on American soil. That same year, only 6 days later, John Lennon was gunned down at the Dakota in New York City. Then, of course, on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, our nation's peace was shattered by the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And then, in just another week, the events of 2012 in Newtown, Connecticut, will be somberly remembered by that community, this state, our nation. 20 children and their six teachers were gunned down. Friends, that little bit of history and anniversaries of this time of year, the theme of this service, which is set as the Peace Sunday, and the essential elements of the sermon that Kate and I will soon share with you, were all well in the works before the events of this week in California. Has nothing changed? Or more importantly, will nothing change? Colorado Springs, Charleston, Aurora, Virginia Tech, Fort Hood, Newtown. But I guess we also observe that peace was shattered in Isaiah's time, and peace was shattered in Jesus' time, as well as our own time. Catherine Matthews has written, "In the midst of loneliness and despair, poverty and war, in the face of communal depression and personal heartache, churches need to throw open their doors and their hearts to all of God's precious children and offer them a place, a community, where the quiet little flames of hope can be fanned into the fires of justice and peace." As we will soon hear as Ginger reads our two lessons for this morning, every era in human history has known darkness. Every age has lived in that tragic shadow of evil and death, and every period in human history has known injustice, hatred, despair. But the choice is always, always, always ours to make. Do we give in to the darkness, give in to the hatred, give in to the injustice, give in to the warfare, give in to the oppression, give in to the fear, give in to the despair? Or rather, do we choose to be the light that shines in this land of deep darkness, to be that light that guides our way to the paths of peace? Do we choose to be those candles of hope and peace to an often dark and dangerous world? And do we truly choose to be those individual persons of faith and as a community of faith, to be those quiet little flames of hope and peace? The choice is always ours.
The first reading is from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 79, and can be found on page 56 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the way of peace. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
It has been said that Christmas is especially a great time for children, a time of great joy and peace. I know it's hard to believe, but Kate and I once were children. And so we have some wonderful memories of Christmas time. And speaking for myself, at least, there were times when my peace was shattered as a child. Now, don't get me wrong. I grew up in Worcester, Massachusetts, had a wonderful family, the magic of Christmas, the presents, pageants. I was one of the sleepless ones. I think I was the worst of the four of us. I was the youngest of four. And I always gave my mom the hardest time on Christmas Eve. I just didn't want to go to sleep. I was so excited about Christmas morning, coming down and seeing all those presents underneath the tree. I think, speaking of presents, I think my most memorable two gifts that I yearned for as a kid, one was a toy cash register. Now, if you ask me why I wanted that, I cannot recall to this day. Did I have a sense that I might have a career in retail? I don't know. But the other one was I pestered my parents. I wanted a stopwatch. I ran track for the high school. I was a sprinter. I ran hurdles. So I guess I wanted to time myself. But there were some less than happy Christmases. For instance, I can remember to this day, can feel it to this day, being up in the balcony at our downtown church, 11 o'clock service, midnight service, wearing a pair of dress itchy wool pants. That's all I remember. What was my mother thinking that morning, that night? Then, of course, there was Christmas Eve tradition in our family of the stockings. We'd open them at night, and we each would have a member of the family that we were responsible for. Well, the year that my older brother, Jeff, had me, all I got in my stocking were wooden puzzles and pencils. That was it. Jeff, where is the creativity? Where is the creativity? But perhaps the really memorable one was Christmas morning. For some reason, my other brother, Carlton, you know, I was the youngest of four. It was easy to abuse the youngest. And so Carlton thought it would be fun to purchase from the Worcester Funhouse some itching powder and put it down my back. But I don't know if you know anything about itching powder. It doesn't itch. It burns. It hurts. And I was in such pain, I couldn't talk with my grandmother from Connecticut on the phone. My mother was not pleased with Carlton.
My Christmases as a child were wonderful as well. A time of singing Christmas carols. If anyone knows me well, you know that I love Christmas carols and baking cookies and all the traditions that come with Christmas time. And so I also am the youngest of four, and my older siblings are way older than me, 12 and 11 years older than me. And so I always wanted to do what they were doing. And that included on Christmas Eve, the 11 o'clock service, the candlelit service, was something I longed to go for. So I asked my parents at least a few times if I could go, and then the magical year when I was 7, and I could go to that 11 o'clock service. We went to the church in New Milford, Connecticut, beautiful church on the green in New Milford, and I remember that service. It was late. I think I actually even closed my eyes for a few minutes during the service. It was just a magical time for me. But we sang Christmas carols and we heard the Christmas story. And then at the end of the service, we had our candles lit and we walked out onto the green in New Milford singing Silent Night. And it was snowing. The magic of holding a candle, standing next to my parents and my siblings, singing Silent Night at midnight on Christmas, and it was snowing. I remember in that moment feeling love, feeling safe, feeling peace. All children in our world deserve to feel love and peace and safe. All children, young and old. But the reality of our world is that a lot of children don't. You see, there's war going on right now. And I remember a story that David told about 5 years ago about raising his children. It was the early 1990s, and the first Persian Gulf War was going on. And Emily, David's oldest daughter, was 5. And so David and Jane tried to shield her from all of the images of war that were on the TV screen and in the newspaper. And then one night, David was in his living room with the newscast on, and he was changing Meg's diaper, and Emily was playing off to the side with a bin of toys, and he thought she was distracted, and she looked up at the TV screen and saw one of the images of a city in Kuwait that had been recently taken over by Allied forces. And little 5-year-old Emily said, "Is that war?" And David said, "Yes." "Is it far away?" "Yes," David responded. "Is it far away like China?" "Yes, far away like China." And then all of David and Jane's work of sheltering little Emily from all these images, they were shattered when Emily looked up at David and said, "Are there children there?" David said for a few days that he tried to push that image out of his mind, but then when he really thought about Emily's question, tears came uncontrollably. "Are there children there?"
And there are children here in Glastonbury, no, not facing war, and we can be thankful for that. But peace can be shattered in a suburban community like this in a moment. Today, December 6th, is the 13th anniversary when peace was shattered in this community by an automobile accident. December 6th, 13 years ago, was actually a Saturday. It was the day of our annual cookie walk. I had been here 6 weeks as pastor, and I arrived early because I heard, you know, get early, get your cookies, hear our children sing in their burgundy-colored vests on the stage, Christmas music for the shoppers, and they would always sing Silent Night, Holy Night, All is calm, all is bright, sleep in heavenly peace. I retrieved a voicemail message on my office phone. "Our son Eric was killed in an automobile accident last night." For those of you who are not here 13 years ago, 3 high school seniors and a father of 3 were killed in a car accident. Eric was a wonderful young man, a member of this congregation, taught Sunday school, He was a member of our confirmation class. We give out a verse to each confirmand. His verse was, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." All too easily, lives can be shattered, a community can be shattered by a tragic automobile accident. Also, lives, children's lives can be shattered by gun violence. The darkness of our world, the darkness of hunger, the darkness of war, the darkness of hatred, the darkness of our world needs our courageous love and action. 3 days after the tragedy in Newtown in 2012, this meeting house was the host Sunday afternoon for a vigil, prayer vigil, to remember those whose lives were lost in Newtown. At that service, Eric wrote and sang this song.
Our voices rise up as from Ramah. Oh God, from where will comfort come? Rachel cries out for her children who will not be coming home. We wait and hear only of horrors, and we ask how once again this violence erupts among us, leaving anguish, grief, and pain. Into the shadows bear a candle, a tiny spark against the night. Into the sorrows of an uncertain world, raise the promise of your light. Though the cause of evil prosper, yet 'tis love alone is strong. Though in a sense be placed in danger, and power exercised for wrong. God is waiting in the shadows, where human grief and sin shall cease. A holy light shines in the darkness, and heaven's children find their peace. Into the shadows bear a candle, a tiny spark against the night. Into the sorrows of an uncertain world, raise the promise of your light. I will not accept the darkness as my predestined home of woe. I will not despair of loving, although its losing grieves me so. Let us take courage in the candle and hold its flame before the night. Let us take it to the shadows. Together we will shine with heaven's light. Into the shadows bear a candle, a tiny spark against the night. Into the sorrows of an uncertain world, raise the promise of your light. To the shadows bear a candle, a tiny spark against the night. Into the sorrows of an uncertain world, raise the promise of your
Because there are precious children in this world who have to suffer through war.
Because there are children, beautiful, innocent children, who this day are hungry.
Because there are children and youth in this community of Glastonbury and beyond who struggle with the darkness in their lives and in the world, and therefore use alcohol and drugs.
Because more than half of our world's refugees, 50 million refugees, more than half, 25 million, are children.
Because there are children in Connecticut, the richest state in the richest nation, who show up to school hungry, unable to learn and to become what they have in them.
Because every year, 3,000 more children under the age of 21 die of gun violence. Every 3 days, another 20 children, all year long, die of gun violence. Every 3 days, another 20 children die of gun violence.
Because there are beloved members of this congregation who are grieving this season the loss of a loved one.
Because there are children.
Because there are children, we need to be that little quiet flame of peace and hope and courage. Because there are children, we need to hold our candle high in the night. Because there are children, we are the light in the darkness. And we become those little flames of peace and hope and courage when we
fill those backpacks full of food, when we give fresh produce off the mobile food share truck and bring in our goods to aid the area food pantries.
When we knit prayer shawls and visit shut-ins.
When we open our door to refugees and give them an extravagant welcome into this community.
When we tutor and mentor children at Fred Wish School in Hartford.
When we reach out to children who are in need both near and far.
When we, yes, call our representatives and say, enough is enough with gun violence.
Friends, we do not have a choice.
God is calling us. We can and we must be little flames of peace, hope, and courage.
We must, because there are children in this world.